That one man put human, financial, ceremonial, social concerns second, and he put Jesus Christ first.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The rarity of gratitude is the subject material, I think, of Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. I want you to notice with me in Luke 17, 11 to 19, a fourfold development of thought that relates to the healing of these 10 lepers that I think will help us to understand why this is so vital. A fourfold development of thought that will help us to understand why it is so important to have a thankful spirit, a thankful spirit. The first thing I see in that passage is a human malady, and that's in verses 11 to 13. Do you have your Bibles open to it? The Bible says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off as they were supposed to, because they had leprosy. And they lifted up their voices," that is, they cried out to the Lord, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now that's a human malady, leprosy. In those two verses, I'd like you to see their disease and their discernment. Their disease, obviously, is leprosy. In the Bible, there's no disease regarded with more terror nor more pity than leprosy. And that awful picture of these leprous men is a powerful and precise portrait of the human predicament outside of Jesus Christ due to sin. We're leprous spiritually. That was their disease. Do you notice their discernment in that passage in verse 13? They could see something in Jesus. They saw something in Jesus. In fact, I think they saw two things. One, they recognized his supremacy, or they recognized his sovereignty. They lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master." They also recognized his sensitivity. They said, "Have mercy upon us." Do you know what they saw in Jesus? They saw in Jesus first someone who could help them, but beyond that, they saw in Jesus someone who would help them. So you go from the human malady to the heavenly remedy. Do you see it in verse 14? "And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go and show yourselves unto the priests.' He spoke a word to them, and it was a powerful word. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy." Now, as I look at that heavenly remedy, it seems to me there are three thoughts in it. You need to see it there with me, if you will, please. I want you to see, first of all, a perceptive love. "And when he saw them," Jesus saw them. And it's a reflection of his love. You see, it's true that love is often blind. Love is blind to another man's faults, but love can never be blind to another man's needs. And that's the kind of love Jesus had. Whenever he saw people with needs, he really saw them. And he gave himself to help them. The Bible says he saw them. That was perceptive love. But I want you to see, secondly, following that perceptive love, that there was a powerful word. Do you notice? He said, "Go show yourself unto the priests." That was a powerful word. He was speaking cleansing into existence in the lives of those lepers. Do you see the flow of thought here? Here's this perceptive love. He saw them. And there's this powerful, creative word. "Go and show yourself unto the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. It's a powerful word. God speaks powerful words to us. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," the scripture says. And so there comes out of this perceptive love and this powerful word, a proper response. Do you notice? The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." That was the right thing to do. They obeyed him. Those men responded precisely to what God said. And that's the very essence of faith. No man has really believed until he's responded. Faith is always expressed in the Bible verbally, in verbs, words of action. And it means that no man has really believed God until he's obeyed God. God's power was liberated into their lives by that faith. Now I want you to notice, thirdly, a humble, what I call a humble eulogy. I mean by that a humble and gracious word of thanks. Do you notice verses 15 and 16? The Bible says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, I want to say three things about that gracious word of thanks, that humble eulogy. One, I want you to see that it was costly. It cost that man to do that. It was costly. There is a sense in which it costs to be a Christian, but it costs a great deal more not to be one. And there's always this incredible compensation, the gift of God's mighty grace in our lives when we're prepared to pay the cost. It cost him, and I think it was costly in a twofold sense. Number one, his response was solitary. The Bible says, and one of them. In other words, he had to stand alone. Isn't that difficult? You know, I'm so disappointed sometimes when I see strong, husky young men. Sometimes teenagers, sometimes young adults, sometimes college and career age, sometimes businessmen out in the world. I see strong, husky young men who ought to have the courage and the gratitude to stand with Jesus Christ no matter the cost, but they melt like butter under the pressure of their peers. They're not prepared to be one, to be solitary, to stand alone. Cost to stand alone. But God blesses those with a special dynamic and impact which has eternal implications. He blesses those who are prepared to stand alone for Jesus Christ and who are not infected with the cowardice which motivates them to melt like butter under the pressure of their peers. Thank God for young men and young women who are prepared to raise up God's standards and stand alone for Jesus Christ. That's what this man did. It was costly. He had to stand alone. There was only one of them that came back. And then secondly, not only was his response solitary, it was sacrificial. The Bible says he turned back. Do you notice? The Bible says he turned back. So often, have you ever seen this? So often, once a man gets what he wants, he never comes back. Have you ever seen that? Once a man gets what he wants, he never comes back. But it was not so with this man. And his turning back was sacrificial. You see, he was headed for a ceremony at the temple. And the ceremony of cleansing through which the lepers would pass would be that which would reinstate them into the mainstream of Jewish social, ceremonial, and financial life. And all of those things carried powerful benefits. So intoxicating was the prospect of these benefits that 9 men out of 10 forgot what Jesus Christ had just done for them. But one man could not forget. That one man put human, financial, ceremonial, social concerns second, and he put Jesus Christ first. And that's what every one of us ought to do. It was costly. It was also conspicuous. The Bible says it's conspicuous for three reasons. I can only read the outline to you. Because it was audible, with a loud voice, he glorified God. Again, he wouldn't knuckle under the pressure of his peers. He was unashamed to identify with Jesus Christ vocally, publicly. It was audible. That made it conspicuous. It was visible. He fell down on his face at his feet. You could see him. He prostrated himself. And beyond that, it was remarkable. Do you know why it was remarkable? Because this man, this one man who returned, and the implication is the others were Jews, although I guess we can't substantiate that, but the implication is there. This one man who returned was a Samaritan. That is remarkable. I want to tell you, the hostilities existing between the Jews and the Samaritans are legendary. And there is nothing in our modern world which can even remotely compare to the deep-seated prejudices that existed between Jew and Samaritan. But you know, it's amazing what God will do in a man's heart when he becomes a believer, when he humbles himself before Jesus Christ. All the barriers come down. All the barriers come down when Jesus touches not only the body, but also the heart. When a man's heart is transformed, when a man's soul is saved, that man becomes a radically new creature in Christ. He's turned inside out. And so a Samaritan bows humbly before a Jewish Messiah. Only God can do that in a man's life. It was also comprehensive. The Bible says he was giving him thanks, and it's in the present tense, and it means that this breath of thanksgiving was no passing whim. It was a deep-rooted expression of his heart, which was impossible to stifle. He just had to give thanks. And it means to me that the Christian is the man, or the Christian is the woman, who is so enamored with Jesus Christ that he can never hide his enthusiasm and his joy and his thankfulness. He exudes it. It's always going out from him. Do you notice finally there was here in verses 17 to 19 a hurtful insensitivity? There were 9 men who were insensitive. They didn't return. And it was hurtful. It comes out in a probing question. Do you notice where he says there in verses 17 to 19? He says, where are the 9? There were 10 who were healed. Where are the 9? That's a burning and penetrating question, which surfaces with great relevance right in the midst of our affluent lifestyles. We tend to forget the source of our blessings. We preachers do, because every once in a while we get a touch or a taste of this affluence. And we tend to forget the source of our blessing. Where are the 9? What a probing question. Where are my people? Where are my people whom I have redeemed, whom I have liberated from sin, to whom I have given eternal life? Where are my people who should be returning to me and who should be glorifying me and who should be thanking me and who should be prostrating themselves before me, as did this Samaritan convert? It's a probing question. Do you notice the precious benediction? Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And boy, that's an interesting word. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Literally, it's the word for salvation, sozo, soteriology. Thy faith has saved thee. Jesus sent this man away with a double assurance that it was well not only with his body, but also with his soul. Full restoration to God means much more than a sound body. In fact, you can be fully restored to God and not have a sound body. It means much more than restoration of the body or a sound body. It means supremely a saved soul. And the man who's been saved can do nothing other than continually thank the God who has provided him this enriching salvation. So what kind of a people are we? Are we a thankful people or are we a complaining people? Powerful question. Do we know what it means to be delivered from the congenital disease of sin, like these lepers were delivered from the terrible disease of leprosy? Jesus has a remedy for us as he had a remedy for them, but he waits for us to respond. He makes a rich offer. We must respond by faith. We must receive it. Have you ever received his gift of eternal life? Are you prepared to meet him? If you were called upon to meet him today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Saving rest, eternal rest. Many of us have done that, and it means that we should be the thankful and the grateful people of God. I wonder if that's what we are. Are we the people willing to stand alone in order to honor and glorify Christ like this solitary leper? Are we prepared to be 1 out of 10? Are we so willing that we are prepared to forfeit social, ceremonial, even financial benefits if it becomes necessary to do that in order to glorify Christ? Oh, it was costly for him to turn back. If Jesus were to come amongst us today, would we be numbered with the 9 who so quickly and selfishly forgot their blessings? Or would we be numbered with the 1 who never forgot what he owed God and others? Do we ever show gratitude to our parents or to our family, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, or to our God? Is there on our breath the sweetness of thanksgiving or the stench of murmuring and complaining?
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.